All aboard. Next up, Nutmeg Junction.
Generally a fair announcement, JT. I give it a 5 out of 10. But as an announcement is the first step toward building rapport with our passengers, we need a little more feeling from you next time. Yeah, more feeling.
My announcement hurt your feelings, Kent?
No, but there should be a more sense of immediacy, a sense of adventure in the call, don't you agree? You need to let the people know that there is wonder afoot, like the fact that I'm on board.
I need to let the people know that Charlie is leaving, not my lunch.
Don't be so naive. There's so much more to the announcement.
Not really a lot more.
There's rapport building, JT. No wonder why you were selected for supplemental training.
Supplemental punishment.
Supplemental training, JT, not punishment. Not unless you find spending time with me to be punishment.
Can you think of another word for it?
If I were to do the announcement, it might be something like, "All aboard, next stop, Nutmeg Junction."
That sounded exactly the same as my announcement, Kent.
Mine was a rapport builder. Think of the customers, JT.
Speaking of customers, here come the customers now. Why, it's Mr. Porter and Julia Porter. Welcome on board.
Thanks, Mr. Conductor. We love going to Nutmeg Junction.
We left our car at home, just so we could take the trolley ride for our trip.
What a wonderful choice. Let's catch up when I punch your tickets, okay?
Okay.
Welcome on board, sir. Why, it's author and podcaster Phil Hall.
JT, nice to see you again.
You're always busy doing interesting things, Phil. I want to hear more about it.
When you get a free moment, I'd love to tell you.
Find your seat, and we'll find that free moment a little later on, okay, Phil?
Okay.
So how is that, Kent?
See, my announcement was the perfect foundation for rapport building. I give myself a 10 out of 10. Do you think you learned something?
More than I'd like, Kent. More than I'd like.
We're on the trolley back out, heading down to Nutmeg Junction. On the trolley by golly, heading for some Nutmeg Function. All the people we see and the places we go, we'll have you right back by the end of the show. We're on the trolley by golly, heading down to Nutmeg Junction.
Tickets please, tickets please. Hello again, Julia and Mr. Porter.
Say, conductor, was that man giving you some pointers on driving this trolley?
Who, Kent Flashman? He's our quality control expert, so even lead conductors have to listen to what he has to say.
That reminds me of a space sentry story I heard on the radio. A pilot had to get instructions from Captain Alex on how to fly the ship.
Space sentries? The action-adventure science fiction show? Tell me all about it, Julia.
Last left our heroes, Commander Alex of Space Sentries was trapped in his quarters due to a faulty locking mechanism on the space door, while most of the seasoned crew of the Salisbury was on leave on planet Vermilion 7, leaving only Ensign Puffle at the controls. After Space Sentry Command Post Juniper 11 required a sentry blockade to block a potential invasion from the Galaxians, it was left to Ensign Puffle to maneuver the Salisbury into position.
I don't know if I could do it, Commander Alex.
You can do it, Puffle. We're all counting on you.
But I haven't received my pilot's license yet. I'm still working on a learner's permit.
You've taken a few practice flights with an instructor, haven't you?
Yeah, I was supposed to start doing that Thursday, but I've only taken the written test.
What did you get on the test?
Only a 72.
Buck up, Ensign. That's still a passing grade. Look, I may be trapped inside my quarters due to a faulty locking mechanism on my space door, and therefore just communicating through a Space Sentry Central Command Action Communicator, but just imagine me sitting right next to you.
Sitting right next to me, Commander?
Yes, sitting right next to you, Ensign. Almost like sitting at the same desk on a similar but different chair, as if the chairs had been purchased at different times because they were owned by a non-commercial, non-profit entity that didn't have money to put into that sort of thing. Can you imagine that, Puffle?
I think so, Commander.
Then you know I can help you get through the maneuver. Now look for the gravimetric pressure gauge. It should be close to the floor.
Like a slightly raised lever, but on the floor? There are three of them, Commander. And they're not labeled!
The one on the left, Puffle. The one on the far right is the Accelero Booster Rocket Conduit.
But what about the one in the middle that's kind of close to the Accelero Booster Rocket Conduit?
That's the Accelero Booster Rocket Dampener, which decreases speed, so if you run into a problem, you'll depress that lever.
So that's the Emergency Speed Dampener?
No, the Emergency Speed Dampener is a different lever, on the bottom of your settlement base to the side. Don't touch that. Now put one foot on the Accelero Booster Rocket Conduit, and one on the Gravimetric Pressure Gauge.
We're moving, but it's grinding!
Move it back, Puffle. You haven't used the directional output signal yet.
This is hard, Commander. I'm not sure if I can do it.
We'll be back to our story in just a moment. But first, a brief message. Friends, do you want to communicate just like Commander Alex of Space Sentries? Of course you would. That's why you need a Space Sentry Central Command Action Communicator. Now, you can talk to your friends when they're less than 4 feet away, just like they do in space. Just take your communication pod and pull tight while your friend pulls their communication pod on their end. Then, talk into the pod and let the Space Central communication string do the work. When your friend talks, put your ear to the pod and listen. That's communication, the Space Sentry way. Enjoy hours of amusement talking to your friends about protecting our planet from invading hordes of Galaxians from space. Just send 3 proof-of-purchase stickers from Space Sentry Breakfast Cereal, plus 2 wooden nickels for shipping and handling, and you too can communicate like a Space Sentry. Be a sentry for our planet and use a Space Sentry Central Command Action Communicator today. And now, back to the action on Space Sentry!
You can do it, Ensign. I believe in you. And we need to get the Salisbury in place for the Juniper 11 blockade. We'll block those Galaxians somehow.
Commander Alex of the Space Sentry ship Salisbury, this is Admiral Complication. When are you getting the ship in place for the blockade? The Galaxians could be here any minute.
We read you loud and clear, Admiral Complication. Be assured, we have the most trusted pilot available on the case. Isn't that right, Puffle?
That's right, Commander.
Puffle, eh? Well, we here on Juniper 11 are counting on you, Puffle. Admiral Complication out.
Ready to try again, Puffle?
I'll do my best, Commander Alex.
That's all we can expect, Puffle. Just do your best. Now again, left foot on the gravimetric pressure gauge, and with your right foot, add fuel via the Accelero Booster Rocket Conduit.
I'm doing it, Commander!
Now place the directional output signal into the aft directional thruster position while gently taking your right foot off the Accelero Booster Rocket Conduit, then turn the gyro directional sphere to the right.
We're moving!
Slowly, Puffle, slowly. You're doing it. Now use the Accelero Booster Rocket Dampener.
Woo! We're stopped and the Salisbury is between the vectors of the adjoining ships in the blockade, but we're still angled out into space.
This is the next part, Puffle, but you can do it. We need to turn the gyro-directional sphere the opposite way and move forward with the Accelero Booster Rocket Conduit without accelerating too far. Think you can do that, Ensign?
I think so, but you know, shouldn't this whole thing just be automated?
Automated?
Yeah, by some sort of computation device small enough to fit inside one of our spaceships.
Automated movement in a vehicle? That's pretty far out there, Ensign. Let's not travel into flights of fancy. I need your mind on reality. Now, can you reach the gravimetric pressure gauge with your foot one more time?
I could do it.
Slowly depress it with your foot. Place the directional output signal to bow thrusters.
Add just a little fuel with the Accelero Booster Rocket Conduit?
Now you're getting it. And then,
gently raise my left foot off the gravimetric pressure gauge, turn, and hit the Accelo Booster Rocket Dampener. I did it!
You did it, Ensign. We're proud of you. The fleet is proud of you.
You did it, Commander! The blockade is in place!
I didn't do it, Admiral. Ensign Puffle did it for Space Sentry Central Command.
We did it together, Commander.
Good work, Puffle. I'll be keeping my eye on you. Admiral Complication out.
Now, if only we can get the faulty mechanism on the space door fixed, I can be out there just in case the Galaxons attack. But at least our blockade is ready for them. One full line of Space Sentry ships aligning the circumference of orbit. They'll never get through.
Now, as long as they don't go over us or under us, we'll be able to stop them right here in outer space. Isn't that right, Commander?
Come again?
Will the Galaxons invade? Will they run into the blockade? Or just go over or under it? Tune in next time for the thrilling adventures of Space Sentry!
What do you think of the Space Sentry story, Kent?
I'm giving it a 9.5 out of 10.
Only a 9.5?
I'm slightly offended I wasn't asked to be a space sentry in the story, but overall, it was well done.
Interesting, because I could have sworn one of those voices sounded awfully familiar.
It is interesting, isn't it? It's almost as if a non-commercial radio station might use the same actors to voice different parts in the same show.
It's almost like that.
Almost. Still, I have to deduct points from you for not thanking the young passenger and her father for sharing the story.
I was just checking in with you first. Oh, never mind. Thank you for sharing that exciting stories of Space Sentries, Julia.
That's not all.
There's more?
Absolutely.
Well, then tell us more.
I'd be delighted to.
When we last left our heroes, Commander Alex of Space Sentries was still trapped in his quarters, due to a faulty locking mechanism in the space door, while most of the seasoned crew of the Salisbury was on leave on planet Vermilion 7, leaving only Ensign Puffle at the controls. With the Space Sentry Command Post Juniper 11 security blockade in place, Ensign Puffle has to prepare for battle due to the imminent invasion from the Galaxon.
I don't know if I can do it, Commander Alex!
You can do it, Puffle. We're all counting on you.
But I wasn't studying for the Tactical Operations Post.
You've taken a few of the simulations at Space Sentry Central Command Junior Academy, haven't you?
Yeah, but it wasn't on my career track. My Space Sentry Central Command Guidance Counselor at the Junior Academy recommended piloting because of my affable nature.
Affable nature, eh? I can see that, Ensign.
Yeah, I also could have been a great hospitality officer in the break room.
We'll show those invading Galaxon hordes some hospitality, won't we, Puffle?
Like what, offer them a continental breakfast?
No, no. Not unless they want a blast of space laser bullets for breakfast.
It doesn't sound edible, sir.
Right, because we'd be fighting them.
So am I supposed to be the one doing that?
Yes, Puffle, but you have to do something incredibly important first.
I'm not sure if I'm ready, Commander.
You have to do it, Ensign. It's an order. You have to change chairs.
But which one, Commander? Which one?
Get a hold of yourself, Puffle. Right now you're in the pilot's chair. That's to the right.
My right or your right?
Puffle, I'm still trapped in my quarters due to a faulty locking mechanism on my space door, so I'm only communicating with you through a Space Sentry Central Command Action Communicator System. So it's not on my right or your left. It's your right if you're looking forward at the giant unnecessary window that looks out into space.
I understand now. Yes, Commander!
But look to your left. There's another station.
You mean that other seat? A seat that looks exactly like the same as this seat, but with a Tactical Operations Post module in front of it?
That's right, Puffle. Go to that seat. That's the Tactical Operations Post. You might call it the TOP post.
I thought Admiral Complication had that top post, sir.
Yes, but Tactical Operations Post? Don't think about it now, but you'll get it maybe later.
Ah, I get it. It's a pun.
No, that's not what a pun is. A pun is when you... Oh, never mind. Now go to that chair, Ensign. The Juniper 11 blockade is counting on you.
I'll try, Commander. I'll try.
We'll be back to our story in just a moment, but first, a brief message. Friends, we asked you before if you wanted to communicate with your friends and loved ones, just like Commander Alex of Space Sentries. Responses have been pouring in from standard regular U.S. mail, and the answer has been an overwhelming, "Of course you would." Listeners, just like you, have told us they need a Space Sentry Central Command Action Communicator. Your neighbors who have already obtained their Space Sentry Central Command Communicator can now communicate with their friends when they're less than 4 feet away, just like they do in space. When you're needed to protect our planet from the invading hordes of Galaxians from outer space, don't you want a Space Sentry Central Command Action Communicator too? Just send 3 proof-of-purchase stickers from Space Sentry Breakfast Cereal, plus 2 wooden nickels for shipping and handling, and you too can communicate like a space sentry. Be a sentry for our planet, and use a Space Sentry Central Command Action Communicator today. And now, back to the action on Space Sentries.
Commander Alex of the Space Sentry Salisbury, this is Admiral Complication. Is the Salisbury battle ready for the imminent invasion of the Galaxian Horde?
We read you loud and clear, Admiral Complication. Be assured, we are the most trusted tactical operations fighter available on the case. Isn't that right, Puffle?
That's right, Commander.
Puffle, eh? Ho, ho, ho. Well, here we are, Juniper 11, are counting on you, Puffle. Admiral Complication, out.
You hear that, Puffle? We're all counting on you. But remember one thing.
What's that, sir?
Puffle, some people are born great. Like me.
And?
And that's it.
Oh, thanks for those brief words of wisdom, sir.
So if you're looking at the Tactical Operations Control Pad module in front of you, you'll notice a big button.
I haven't moved there yet, sir, but I'll get there. I did it!
I knew you could, Ensign. Great work. Now look at the Tactical Operations Post module in front of you.
I'm looking at it now. Now there's just 2 buttons, a small green button and 1 big red button.
Don't press it yet. The big red button is the operational mechanism that emits the space laser bullets at any invasion of Galaxon hordes.
But what about, like, targeting?
It's all automatic. The sensors relay the information into the processor and targets the nearest Galaxon attack vessel.
But what about, like, the quantity of the space laser bullets? Do I, like, press it when we need to shoot more?
It's automatic. The sensors indicate the damage to the other vessel and will identify when we have caused critical damage to it. Then it will target the next Galaxon vessel.
Do I, like, have to worry about, like, reloading the space laser bullets?
All automatic, Puffle. Now see that small green button that activates the module so the big red button is activated? You can press it now.
Now, will it shoot any space laser bullets?
No, Ensign. It just engages the big red button and makes it activated. Can you do it? Can you press the green button now?
The green button? I think so. Hold on. I did it, Commander! Now the big red button is activated.
You did it, Commander! Sensors indicate you have Tactical Operations Post ready for the imminent invasion of the Galaxian Horde.
I didn't do it, Admiral. Ensign Puffle did it for the Space Sentry Central Command.
We did it together, Commander.
Good work, Puffle. I'll be keeping my eye on you. Admiral Complication out.
What do I do now?
When the invading hordes of Galaxians get here, press the red button.
Yes, sir. But then what?
Then it's all automated. You can go get a sandwich or something.
So, all the Tactical Operations Post officers, all they have to do is, what, press 2 buttons?
They're the most important buttons in times of engagement, Ensign.
Yeah, but they take like 3 extra years at the Space Sentry Central Command Junior Academy just to get that very position.
There's a lot at stake when Galaxon hordes are at your door.
Yeah, but when you're a pilot, you have to figure out the gravimetric pressure gauge from the Acceler Booster rocket conduit and everything. and nothing is automated at all.
Our first priority for space entries is protection. Our resources have to go to the defense of our planets. Now, if only we could get the faulty mechanism on the space door fixed, I can be out there when the hordes of Galaxons invade, which is imminent.
Now, unless there's no such thing as Galaxons, and we spent lots and lots of money as a society on advanced weaponry that we just don't need, isn't that right, Commander?
Come again?
It's come to our attention that some of our dear listeners have been fooled by imitation Space Sentry Central Command action communicators. Some questionable members of society have merely taken two plastic cups and connected them with a string and some tape, and then they communicate with their friends when they're less than 4 feet away, just like they do in space. But they're missing one thing, the Space Sentry Central Command seal of approval. When you're needed to protect our planet from the invading hordes of Galaxons from space, don't you want the assurance that you know you'll be using a genuine Space Sentry Central Command action communicator approved for that use? Don't be fooled. Remember to send 3 proof of purchase stickers from Space Sentry Breakfast Cereal, plus 2 wooden nickels for shipping and handling, and you too can use a Space Sentry Central Command action communicator today. Will the rest of the blockade at Juniper 11 be ready for the imminent invading horde of Galaxons? Will Commander Alex have the faulty mechanism for his space door fixed? Tune in next time for the thrilling adventures of Space Sentry!
Tickets, please! Tickets, please! Why, hello again, Phil Hall. I said we'd catch up once things got settled down.
I know, but I was enjoying this Space Sentry story.
They were quite exciting, weren't they?
I felt the Admiral did an admirable job.
I see what you did there.
Oh, thank you.
So, Phil, you are a podcaster, you are an actor, you are a writer of note. Could you tell us what you've been up to?
What have I been up to? Where do we start? Let's start with the podcasting. I have a show on SoundCloud called The Online Movie Show. You can find that at soundcloud.com/onlinemovieshow. It's a weekly episode, half hour each, talking about classic and contemporary cinema, speaking with film writers, actors, directors, wise guys with things to say about movies. It's been going, we're in my second season now, actually, going to be coming to the end of the second season soon, and we'll be starting the third season in September. In acting, I've been fortunate. I have several projects that are coming out. I'm in the movie Crawlers, directed by Michael Leggi, which just came out on DVD. It's also on Amazon Prime. It's a comedy film. We shot that up in Massachusetts. I play a convict from the center of the world who somehow winds up in a suburban home where I'm not wanted. So that's quite fun. I'm also in a film that was shot here in Connecticut called Diane. It was directed by Michael Mongelo, who's best known for being Michael Madsen and Welcome to Earth. And that's coming out in September. I have a blink and you miss it type of moment, but it was a lot of fun to work with Michael Mongelo. And I'm in a documentary where I play myself, which is kind of scary. It's called Finding Kukan, and it's directed by Robin Lung. And it's about the search for a long-lost movie called Kukan, which was made in 1941. It was about the Chinese effort to repel the Japanese in World War II. And that film won the first Academy Award for Best Documentary, and it was considered lost for many decades. And Robin was able to track down the last surviving print of it. And
wow.
Yeah, so that was quite nice. In terms of writing, I have a new book coming out, not to brag, it's number 8 in my output. It's called The Weirdest Movie Ever Made. And it's about the Patterson-Gimlin film. I don't know if you ever heard of that, or if that rings a bell.
Could you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, you probably may not have heard the name Patterson-Gimlin film, but when you see it, you'll know what it is. It's that blurry, grainy film from 1967, about 1 minute, that shows Bigfoot walking through the California woods.
Yes,
the film that basically put Bigfoot into popular culture. And the book is about how the film got made, who Mr. Patterson and Mr. Gimlin were, how they were able to get the film out into the wider world, and the impact that it's had. We wouldn't know about Bigfoot if it had not been for that one crazy minute of footage. And that's coming out in October. My publisher is Bear Manor Media, so say hi to Ben Omart, who put a lot of faith in this rather off-kilter project.
That's amazing. You have so many things coming out and things that have come out. It's got to be an exciting time for you.
I'm pooped.
Now, where can people find all of your information? Like, if they wanted to learn about your acting or learn about your podcasting, let's talk about the podcasting first. Where would they go for the podcast?
Well, the podcast is, as I mentioned earlier, SoundCloud. So go to soundcloud.com/onlinemovieshow. And we have about 60-some-odd episodes up. If you want to find out about the podcast, the acting, the writing, I also write for a number of magazines, and I have various stories coming out every week. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Hall. There are tons of Phil Halls on Facebook, but I was the first one to actually get the name. So,
wow, that's fantastic. And speaking of Phil Hall, you play Phil Hall in a documentary, so are you worried about being typecast?
I've actually been in several documentaries, and there's actually a film about me, which was made by a filmmaker who liked my writing so much. He came from Chicago to my home in Connecticut and filmed me talking about my career. The movie is called A Writer Named Phil Hall, and that's still out on DVD. If you look about on Google, you should be able to find it.
That's fantastic. How was that to be the subject of a documentary?
As an egomaniac, it's probably the most satisfying experience of my life.
That's so great. So you are not only an actor in other people's films, but then you were the showcased person for a documentary itself.
I was also responsible for the creation of documentary. A couple of years ago, some fellows in Wales made a film called White Christmas in Dodellin, and it was about the search for another lost film. In this case, there was a 1963 version of Dylan Thomas's Child's Christmas in Wales. And the filmmaker never heard of the film, but he read an essay I wrote about it for a column I have called The Bootleg Files, which appears every Friday. It used to be on Film Threat. Now it's on Cinema Crazed. And some years back, I wrote about Child's Christmas in Wales, and this Welsh filmmaker didn't even know this existed. He contacted me, and we did the interview via Skype, and the documentary was shown on Welsh television, the S4C channel. I don't think it's ever been shown in the U.S., unfortunately, and maybe if you hunt about on YouTube or some video channel, you might be able to find it.
Well, I think you are doing admirably, so to speak. It's such a fantastic time to speak to you. I hope that you're able to stop by on a different day of Nutmeg Junction.
Well, as long as the trolley car keeps running and you don't take example from Metro North, I'll be back to ride again and again.
Thank you for riding with us, Phil Hall.
I'll be in the back if you need me.
So, Kent, what did you think of the discussion with Phil Hall?
A 9.5, JT.
Instead of a perfect 10 because you didn't conduct the interview?
Thank you for saving the deficit point and the quality of the interview.
So as we're pulling in safely to Nutmeg Junction, what was the final score?
I'll be recommending a second review to get a clear picture of the quality here.
You're a master at job security and quality control, Kent.
I'd say a 10 out of 10 on that subject, JT. Welcome to Nutmeg Junction, everyone!
This has been Episode 5. Nutmeg Junction, the audio theater program, was created, produced, and written by J. Timothy Quirk, directed by Conrad Sinkowitz, with theme music written by Robert C. Fullerton. Rehearsed at Trinity Episcopal Church. Recorded at WAPJ Torrington Community Radio in Torrington, Connecticut. This episode of Nutmeg Junction was performed by Kurt Boucher, Rich Sear, J. Timothy Quirk, Caroline Sinkowitz, Conrad Sinkowitz, and our special guest, Phil Hall. Please like Nutmeg Junction on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and see our website, nutmegjunction.com. good night.